Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Beitzah Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. And we're going to, this will be somewhat of a long podcast. We're going to cover two Daf, which covers five different Mishnayot, starting near the bottom of the Amud. Shloshadvim is Mishnah Vav in the second parak. Shloshadvim is Megamliel Machmir Kedivei Beit Shammai. There are three areas in which Megamliel followed Beit Shammai's rulings, L'chumra. And this is Mishnah is replicated in Masachet Eduyot. Ein tomnin et hachamin lachatchila b'yom tov. Lachatchila, you're not allowed to insulate chamim. Ve'en zokfin tov nora b'yom tov. You're not allowed to stand a lamp up on yom tov. Ve'en ofin pitin gritzin ela rikikin. You're not allowed to bake big bread, but rather just flat crackers on yom tov. And he testifies that his father's house, they never baked big, thick breads on Yom Tov, just thin crackers. So the response to those who disagreed was, what should we do about your father's house? What can we say? But they were machmir on themselves to only bake thin bread, but they allowed everyone else to bake big, thick loaves on Yom Tov, which means that should be the halacha. Okay, hechidami. Let's go back now to the first issue, which is tomnin tachamin. Idan acherev tavshilin. If an erev tavshilin was put down, my tamei Beit Shammai. Why would Beit Shammai not allow hatmana, and therefore Gamliel following that? And if you didn't put down an erev tavshilin, my tamei Beit Hillel. Why would Beit Hillel allow it? So Rav Huna says must be a case where there was no Eruv Tavshilin. Even without an Eruv Tavshilin, the Rabbanan still allow you to make minimal food, just the basics that you need. Rav Huna l'tamein. Now Rav Huna is following his own reasoning. Rav Huna, we bake for him one loaf. We cook one pot of food. We light the candle for him. And so then, Megamliel's chumra would be in such a case, we still do not allow hatmana. Shurim Yitzchak Amru, af tzolin lo dag katan, we even roast a, fry a little fish. So the Braita said the same thing and adds, we heat up one, flask of, water. Shurim af tzolin lo dag katan. And some people say what Rabbi Yitzchak added in, roast, frying a little fish. Rav Mar Liolam Shiniach, he disagrees with Rav Huna and says it's a case where there was an Erev Tavshilin. Shani Atmanad Mucha Milta Dadata Deshabta Kavid. When you're baking and cooking on Yom Tov, it's not obvious to the onlooker that you're preparing for Shabbat. But Hatmana is. So therefore, Beit Shammai would say even with an Erev Tavshilin you can't do Hatmana. Gamliel followed that strict position. Eitavi Abaye, so Abaye says, Hanan Yom Beit Shammai Omrim, and Hanan, remember, has the strictest position on Beit Shammai. We saw that in the beginning of this parak. Enofin Elim Kane, Rav Befat, Enofin Kane, Rav Betavshil, Ventomin Elim Kane, Hayulo Chamin Tmunin Me'erv Yom Tov. Hananya's take on Beit Shammai was that you have to make an Eruv for each one of the activities. Afiyah, Bishul, and Hatmana, but he does allow Hatmana if you made an Eruv for that. Hayulo Chamin Tmunin Mutar. Even though it's clear that you are doing Hatmana now Friday afternoon for Shabbat, nonetheless he allows it. Here's the case. If you made an Eruv for, let's say, cooking, but not for Hatmana, then Rabbi Gamliel following Beit Shammai per Hananya's interpretation would not allow Hatmana. Of course, according to Beit Hillel, you just need one Tavshil and you could do everything. According to Hananya's take. Okay, Ein Zokfin Et HaMenorah, we're not allowed to stand up a lamp. My Kavid, what's the problem? He says it's a menorah made up of joints. When you put the joints together and stand it up, the problem is that it looks like bonel, like you're building. Why Beit Shammai? The Beit Shammai Sabi, Shbinim and Kelim. We have this earlier in Masachet. Beit Shammai are the position that there is a problem of binyan bekelim. Ve'ein stira bekelim. According to Beit Shammai, there are Beit Hillel. There is no binyan bekelim. There's no stira bekelim, and therefore this would not be a problem. Gamliel's machmir per Beit Shammai. Ula iklav Rav Yehuda. Now we're going to hear about a different story about standing up a lamp for a different consideration. Ula came to Rav Yehuda's house. Kam shamei zakaf le'shraga. It was on Yom Tov, and the servant stood up and stood the lamp up. Eitav Rav Yehuda le'ula. Rav Yehuda challenged Ula. Hanoten shem b'nei achayav mishum mavir. In other words, it was Ula's servant who was with him who stood the lamp up in order to create more light, but evidently by doing so, he was shifting where the oil was, and as a result of that, it would go out quicker. And so Rav Yehuda challenged him. He said, the halacha is that if you add oil into the Ner on Shabbat, you're chayav mishum mavir, because you're inflaming. And if you take some oil out, you are violating kibui. This is something we learned in the second parak of Shabbat, because you are causing it to go out earlier by taking some of the oil out. And that's what's happening here. Amar le'lava datoi. So Ula's answer was that I didn't tell him to do it. He did it on his own. And per my instructions, he would not have done it. Okay, Amarav kanaba shari. Kanaba means to cut off the tip of the wick that has ashes on it. But now, Amarav marta babayi. Ma'u l'chabot tanem ne devar acher. Could you put out a candle in order to be able to engage in relations in that room? Amarlov shor bayit acher, go to a different room. Ein lo bayit acher mai, what if you don't have a different room? Shal asot l'mechitza, put up a little stand to block off the light. It's inappropriate to have relations in a lit room. Ein lo asot l'mechitza mai, if you have nothing to make such a block with, such a divider with, what do you do? Afshal echbot ala b'da kli, you could cover the lamp with a kli that wouldn't put it out, but would block the light. Ein lo kli mai, what if you don't have that possibility? In other words, bottom line, if there's no other option, what do you do? Amar le asur, you're not allowed to do it. Eitavein mechabin tabakad kedelechu saleha. So he challenged him with the following. And you sense that he was almost waiting to be able to throw this challenge out. You cannot put out a fire in order to save the wick. But if it's because it's smoking up the house and you want to keep it from doing so, you're allowed to. All right, which means that your intent in doing this is critical. And since you're putting out the candle not in order to save the wick, but in order to get rid of the light so you can engage in relations, then it should be okay. But that's for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's position on Ochol Nefesh is even a Machshire Ochol Nefesh. Lachem, and therefore any of your needs, including needs which are not directly about eating, but about relations, etc., is permitted on Yom Tov. My position is per the Rabbanan, who limit it to only Ochal Nefesh. So he asked him, can you put out a fire in Yom Tov? I'm not asking about a case where there's life in danger. You do that on Shabbat also. I was asking Mishum Ibun Mamon, when there's a financial loss about to be incurred, my Amar Le Asur. He said it's Asur. So he gave him the same challenge about the putting out the flame in order to keep the house from smoking up, as an example. The same answer that was for Rabbi Yehuda, but I was answering for Rabbanan. Okay, so he asked him, can you rouge an eye on Yom Tov? So if there's danger to the eye, you can go dama dimata kadachta tchilat uchla, all these eye diseases, lo mibayli. That, I have no question, if this is going to heal him. No question, you could even do it on Shabbat. Mibayli sof uchla, o pitzucha, tsucheyena, my. I was asking about situations where there's nothing, no imminent danger, and these are names of different conditions of the eye, where it's simply more pleasant to have the rouge on. Amar le asur, said asur, eitavein mechabin tabakat, so he gave him the same question. Rishon elikin shanin, he gave the same answer, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Amemar shari, lemikhalina minochi b'shabta. Amemar permitted somebody to get their eye rouged, or have the blue stuff put on it, on Shabbat, as long as a non-Jew is doing it. There's a problem of Sovea here. According to another version, he himself allowed it on his own eye. So Rashi challenged Amemar, Ma datich, what were you thinking? You could take care of all needs for a chole through a non-Jew on Shabbat. As long as somebody's not in danger, you tell the non-Jew to do it. So Amir Lenochri is suspended. And, of course, if there's danger, you do it yourself. That's talking about a case where you're not helping at all. You're just sitting there. Aval Mar, in this case, you're helping him. You're closing and opening your eyes as he's doing it. Because without your cooperation, he couldn't get it done. Rav Zvid asked the same question. And I told him that somebody who is helping the sugya in the 10th parak of Shabbat, somebody who is merely sitting there passively getting the treatment and just helping by moving his head or moving his eyes, isn't considered to be an active player. Okay. Amemar directly permitted putting the blue stuff on the eye on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So he challenged him. He said that he quoted Rava, and as we saw near the beginning of the first parak, that if somebody dies and it's the first day of Yom Tov, then let the other non-Jews deal with the burial. If it's second day, then we take care of it, even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We don't say the same thing about a beitzah. In other words, it's only for the tzorach of a mate that we regard the second day as being more lenient than the first day. And therefore, why are you allowing this, putting this blue on the eye on the second day of Yom Tov? I hold like the Nahardeya, like the students who came originally from Nahardeya and were sitting in Pumadita, the Amri Af Beitzah. They held that even an egg that's laid can be eaten on the second day. And your concern, as we saw in the first parak, your concern is that they may make Elul a complete month, a full 30-day month, in which case, suddenly we will find that second day Yom Tov is the real Yom Tov. We haven't had that for hundreds of years, and Elul is never Mu'ubar, and therefore we have a pretty good idea that the first days of Sukkot are correct, and even that the second day of Rosh Hashanah really is not Yom Tov. The end of the Mishnah, we saw the third chumrah of Rabbi Gamliel following Beit Shammai was to not bake this thick bread. So we find this discussion being about Pesach. We think it's about Chametz. Beit Shammai says you can't make thick bread on Pesach. We tell Matirin. How thick is thick? One tefach big. Because we see that you're allowed to make lechem apanim tefach, and lechem apanim, of course, can't be chametz. So up to tefach must be okay. But Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, how could you infer the rule from the mikdash? In the mikdash, you got kohanim were very careful in keeping an eye on things. Here, you're publicizing it for everybody in their own kitchen. If you're saying this about bread and dough that's been really worked over very strenuously, but not everybody works it so strenuously, and there could be all sorts of air bubbles in there. And they had dry wood that had a real strong fire. You can't say that about moist wood that some of you might have. There they had a very hot oven. Here it might not be as hot. There they had a metal oven. Here we use a potter oven. In other words, inferring from the fact that the lechem apanim was a tefach big and was not chametz, that we can make it up to that, and that's Beit Shammai's guideline, is a strange inference. I asked my Rebbe, that's Rav, my patava, what's patava? Pat merubah. It doesn't mean thick bread, it means a lot of bread. He could Amri Amr Rav Yirmiyahu Abba Amar Rav, or perhaps Rav Yirmiyahu Abba quotes Rav as saying, "Shilita Rabbi Biyichud." I asked my Rabbi, "Umanu, who's that Rabbeinu Kadosh? That's Rabbi Yudan Asi." My Patava Pat Ruba, same answer. So it either came from Rav or Rav quoting Rabbi. From my Karole Patava, why did they call it Patava? Mishum Nefisha Belisha, because there's a lot of kneading involved. Nami Ba'atre the High Tana Pat Ruba Patava Karole, or in that Tana's place they used to call lots of bread Patava. Okay, so now we find out that the issue has nothing to do with chametz; it has to do with working too hard, making too much bread. My ear of Pesach. Why did you mention Pesach? It should be true about other yamim tovim. The answer is inachinami. You're right; it is. Tana biyom tov the Pesach guy. Our Tana who happened to be discussing Pesach, so he mentioned this machloket and mentioned Pesach. In this bright, that's clearly about yom tov. Okay. From Gamliel further, the next Mishnah Zayin. Afu Amar Shloshad Dvarim L'Hakel. He allowed three things that were now leniencies. Mechabdin Beit Hamitot. You can sweep up where the area where the beds are in the dining room, where they sweep that up on Yom Tov. We're not afraid that you're going to even out the holes and thus violate Choresh. Menichinat HaMugmar B'Yom Tov. You're allowed to put down the censer that has the smoke, with the incense, coming to make the clothes that have been freshly washed, give them a nice smell. And you're allowed to make a roasted goat that is totally entire, just like Korban Pesach, on Leil Pesach. Chachamim Osrin, all three of them, they prohibit. Amar Rasi. Let's go to the second issue, which is the Mugmar. Machloket Ligamer. The machloket between Megalei and Chachamim is about making the smoker to smoke the clothes. Aval Hariach, just to make a nice smell in the room, Divrei Kol Mutar. Everybody agrees you could do that on Yom Tov. It's a fire for pleasant aesthetics. Meitevei, we have a challenge. Ein mechabdin beit tamitot b'yom tov, v'shech megamliel mechabdin. That's like our Mishnah. I went with my father, Rabbi Tzadok, to Rabbi Gamliel's house. I saw that they weren't sweeping out there. What did they do? They would sweep out that area where you'd be eating Erev Yom Tov. Remember, there's a dirt floor. And then they put sheets down on the floor. When the guests come in, they would take all of the sheets up. And then anything that had fallen on the sheets in the meantime would then be picked up, and the place got swept, but without them actually sweeping. So you should be able to do the same thing on Shabbat, based on that. Okay, second part of the Braita. You can't put down the Mugmar. I followed my father and Rabbi Gamliel again on Yom Tov. They didn't put it down. What did they do? So he's correcting the report of Rabbi Gamliel. They'd bring like samovars of metal. They'd fill them with smoke Erev Yom Tov, and they'd plug up the holes. When the guests would come in, they would open up the holes, and then this great smell would come out on its own, but they weren't creating, they weren't burning the incense on Yom Tov. So they said, based on that, you should be able to do it on Shabbat also, not just on Yom Tov. In other words, they're saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, your testimony is a little bit strange, because then it should have been said about Shabbat, which is a much bigger chiddush, where that activity certainly would be prohibited, except for the method that you're suggesting. Elit marhachit mar, this is how she read it. Amar Ravasi, so now let's go back. And Ravasi's original statement should be as follows. Machloket lahariach, machloket megamliel and chachamim is about, whether you can make the incense for smell. Aval ligamer, to clean out, to put it on the clothes, asur. That everybody agrees is asur. And in Gamliel's house, what they would do is they would set it up Erev Yom Tov, and then open up the holes. Ibayalu maul ashen. What about using it to smoke the fruit? If you're ma'am amaram asur, shmuel amar mutar, machloket. Fun amar asur, quoting Rav, following Rav, neshe mechabet. When you put the incense on the coals, it makes the coals go out. Rav Nachman, v'neim amar neshe mavir. Why don't you say because it inflames them? Because the first thing it does, it puts those out, and then the heat inflames the incense. Aviura agabe gachelet asur, to put it on a coal is asur, but agabe cheres mutar, if you have some pottery that's very hot, you could put the incense on that. For Rambam, agabe cheres nami asur, you can't do that either. Mishum de kamoli recha, because you're creating a new smell. So the question really is, what happens when you have incense, which is a piece of, typically a piece of, from a bush, from the bark of a tree perhaps, and then you put it on the flame, and it causes it to smoke, are you creating a new smell or just expanding it? Shram Rav Yosef, Tamar Tavayo, they would say, Schufe kosa ashirai biyomatava asur. So to take the cup, that's filled with good senses in it, and put them on top of garments, let's say silk garments, in order to kind of push the smell into the garments, is asur. Now there's no smoking here, there's no fire. My tamashum to kumolad recha. Again, you're creating a new smell. How's that different from what we're going to see later on in the Masacha, that you're allowed to take little spices that are inert and then tease them between your fingers and get them out and then smell them? Hatam recha mi'aita. The answer is the smell is always there. You're just adding to it by exposing it. But here you're putting new smell into the clothes, into the fabric. Rav Amar al gabei gachelat nami mutar. He takes the opposite position and says, not only can you put it on the kli cheres, you can even put it directly on the coal. Minahavi abasra gumri, just like putting meat on coals, and then heating them up on Yom Tov. Darsh Rav Gvir and Beit Katil apitcha deveirish kaluta. He taught the following thing publicly: ketura shari. Now, what's ketura? Ketura could be incense. Ketura could also be a knot. K-N-O-T. My ketura. So Amemar said, what do you mean? If you mean that you're talking about knotting certain clothes together, that takes expertise and therefore can't be done on Yom Tov. If you mean making us incense, asur dachamachabe, because when you put the incense on the coals, it makes them go out. The olam lasheni meant the second. Just like Rava said, it's like putting meat on coals. The other version is that Amemar said, "Mike Tura, Iktur biadim asiumanu lashen asur, kamolid reicha." Same thing, but now not because of mechabeh, but because of molid reicha, the reason that was raised earlier. Rashi, ana amrita niale. I told him, "Mishmei de gavurava amrita niale." Olam liashen. The reason that what he meant, Tura shari, which is to make the incense, the smoke. Just like putting meat on coals. Okay, the last part of the Mishnah was in Gulim Mikulas. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Todos Ish Romi, the famous Sugim Psachim. Theodore, who was a well-known philanthropist of the Jewish community in Rome, he got B'nai Romi, Lachol Gedim Kulas V'lei Psachim. He used to feed them, and he led the custom that they should have a proper roasted goat on Pesach after the Churban. They sent a message from Eretz Yisrael: if you were not the great Todus who helped so much, we would throw you in Nidu in Cherem. You're making them eat Kodshim outside of the Mikdash. Kodshim Sakadaitach, you think they're really Kodshim? Something like Kodshim. It looks like Kodshim. Okay, the next Mishnah. Shloshad Rav Elazar ben Azari Matir Chachamim Osim. Now on to threes. We have three things Rav Elazar ben Azari was lenient about and the Chachamim prohibited. One, Parato Yotzav Birtzua Shavein Kardeha. His cow would go out with a strip between its horns on Shabbat. It wasn't considered caring. This is a famous sugi in Shabbat. Makadrinta Beima B'Yom Tov. You're allowed to comb the animal with iron combs on Yom Tov. Veshochkin the people in Rechaim Shlain, you're allowed to use a pepper mill on Yom Tov. Hunomer ein makardin et habeimah b'yom tov, ein sheoseh chabura, aval makartzefin. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said that you're not allowed to do the kidur, which is with the iron combs, but not makartzefin, which is with softer wood combs. Chumomer ein makardin aflo makartzefin, they allow neither. We'll see what the issue is. Okay, the first thing is about the cow. Remember, Rav Elazar Azari had a par aviale. He only had one cow. Rav Amri la Rav Yehuda Marav placer alfe egli havi maser. Rav Elazar Azari meidre kol shata v'shata. He used to have 13,000 calves as his maaser behema every year. So Tana lo shelo aita ela shel shchinto aita. It wasn't his. He had a neighbor who only had one cow, and he allowed it. Tok shelo michaba, and he did not protest, did not stop her. Nikrei tal shmo. It was a sin, and he was considered to be responsible for that because he could have stopped her and did not. Okay. Makanyu da meima biyom to tana bana ezu kirud ve ezu kartzuf. Kirud is ktanim v'osin chabura. They're tiny little tines of the comb or teeth of the comb. And they make a wound on the animal. Kirtzuf is gdolim. They're big, thicker ones. Venos in chabura, they just comb through. Shlosh machlokot, but there are three positions. Rabbi Yehuda savar, the Rashim and Kavin asur. Rabbi Yehuda says, as we know throughout Shabbat, the Rashim and Kavin asur. You're not intending to make a chabura. Mil kirut, tanim, osin chabura, kirtzuf, gdolim, venos in chabura. Only the small ones make a chabura. Venos in kirtzuf, ati kidur. And therefore, there's no reason to make a gzeira. And he allows using the ones with the thicker wood teeth. Rabbanan Sarinami Rabbi Yehuda, the Rashi and Kavan Asur, Rabbanan agree with him on the basic principle, the Rabbanan here, because they're Kitzuf Atzikir, and they extend it by Xerah to even using the comb with the wood, thicker, wider teeth, which don't cause a chabura. Well, when Azari is Savalak Rishimon, he had like Rishimon, the Rashi and Kavan Mutar, and therefore in Kirun and Kitzuf Shari, because it doesn't matter what you end up doing, as long as it's not a Psik Resha, and you're not intending to make a chabura, which of course you wouldn't be doing, then it is mutar. Amarav Amram Nachman Amar Shmuel. Amri La Amram Nachman L'chudei. Either Amram Nachman said it himself, or he's quoting Shmuel. Halacha Rabbi Shimon, we rule like Rabbi Shimon. Famously, Shmuel ruled like Rabbi Shimon about the Rashi and Kavan. And what's his reason? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agrees with him. That's a good reason. Amalei Rava Rav Nachman. So Rava turned to Rav Nachman and said, I don't get it. V'leimam ha'alachak Rabbi Yehuda sh'achachan modim lo. Chachamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar Nazariah, agree with Rabbi Yehuda. They're Dorashim and Kamein Asur. They just went one step further with the combing. Le'anak Rabbi Shimon Sfirali. V'od Rabbi Elazar Nazariah modilo. He said, because Shmuel basically said, I hold the like Rabbi Shimon, and by the way, Rabbi Elazar Nazariah supports it also. But that's not his main reason. His main reason is because he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the next Mishnah. A pepper mill has three different components to it. Each one independently could get tuma. Shum klei kibul, because it's a receptacle. Shum klei matechet, as a metal tool. Shum klei kvarai, as a sifter. So Tana, the Brita says, tachtonam shum klei kibul. The bottom one is the klei kibul, that receives the pepper. And sa'it mishum klei kvarai, the middle one is the sifter. El yonam mishum klei matechet, the top one that cuts it is metal. Okay, the last Mishnah, the Perak, Agalash al-Katan Tmei Amidras, a little wagon that a child uses, and a child sits in, has Tumat Midras, that sitting in there is considered to be real sitting. When you tell it on Shabbat, you can carry it on Shabbat, it's a Kli. And I grab it to Elangabe Kelim. It can only be dragged on Kelim, not on the Karka, because it may make a ditch. Pino Merakola Kelim Ein Nigrain Chutz Min Agalam, Neshehi Koveshet. He said you can't drag anything on the ground except for an agala, because since it has tires that, or wheels that go right through the ground and they don't make new ditches. Why is it Tamei Midras? Because he leans on it, he reclines on it. It's a kli, so you can carry it on Shabbat. You can't carry it on the ground. My Tamanaka Abid Chavit, you're making a ditch. Mani or Beauty, that follows a Beauty. Damar the Rashim Kamein Asur. Because even though you're not intending to make a ditch, that's what's going to happen. Rabbi Shimon Amar the Rashim Kamein Mutar, because Rabbi Shimon would disagree. The Tan Rabbi Shimon Omer Gorer Adam Mitak, he saved us Afsal, Vajlut Kamein Asur Chavit. It's a very famous ruling of Rabbi Shimon. He says you're allowed to drag a bed or a bench or a chair, as long as you don't intend to make a ditch. So Ema say for you don't mear, Ena Kolin, Rain Chut, Shabar Chutz Vin Agalam, Neshi Osat Kovesh. So Rabbi Yehuda said it doesn't make a ditch. So therefore, how can you say that the reasoning in the Reisha is based on Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's a Davar Sheni Mitkaven, which is Asur? The answer is, there's two versions of Rabbi Yehuda, whether he holds that an Agala is a problem of Charitz or not. Hadran Alach Yom Tov, we will begin our study of the third parak of the next podcast. Meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.